Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon. This is Daryl Hikes, the host of This is Daryl Hikes. I am the president and CEO of Arise and Shine Global Ministries, Team America Titans LLC, and Daryl Hikes Incorporated. And I will be your host for this program for the next 29 minutes and 45 seconds. So hey, let's pray and get right into it. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity of being able to share your word. I thank you that today your word falls upon hearts that are ready to receive and make it a part of their lives so they can see the results that you desire. We thank you so much for your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for this Yuletide season by which we get to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I just thank you that no child out there will go without a gift this year. And we know the greatest gift was Jesus. And this is a time by which people are mindful of, you know, not going into debt or not exasperating their finances to where, you know, they're put in a hardship starting December 26th. Yet they're able to, you know, celebrate the season and enjoy family and exchange gifts. And I thank you that, you know, people come together that haven't seen each other in years. I thank you that relationships are reconciled to where there was envy and bitterness and strife that was keeping people from coming together. Well, I thank you that that is abated, it's taken care of, it's gone, it's no longer an issue, and that everyone involved gets to come together to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he's not a baby in a manger. He's a full-grown man who died on the cross, and he currently sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about today. So we just thank you, Lord. And it's in the wonderful, mighty, majestic, glorious name of Jesus that I pray. And if you heard the prayer and you agree with the prayer, then just say amen. All right. Well, amen. I agree with the prayer I just prayed. Okay, here's the thing. We've all made mistakes made mistakes. There may be someone listening right now that is currently right in the middle of making a mistake. And then as long as you're on this planet, I don't want to speak this over you. However, you could make a mistake in the future, you know. So today we want to talk about, okay, I messed up, now what? That has to be the life, one of the greatest questions of life. What do you do when you mess up? You know, it's interesting how when I was growing up, one of the big things that my parents just absolutely, especially my mom, she just absolutely despised telling a lie. Excuse me. If she asked you a question, she expected an answer, and she expected it to be the truth. Now, I was, by nature, I found it very easy to tell a lie because I did not want to face the consequences that might come about as a result of having made the mistake, and then I have to deal with the consequences. Now, there were some situations to where I would do things and I just didn't care about the circumstances or situations or what might happen, the consequences concerning what might happen as a result of my actions, my decision. And let's talk about, first of all, we need to define what a mistake is. And a mistake, literally, it comes from the word sin, which means to miss the mark. I was listening to the radio. Today is Sunday. Maybe I was listening to the radio probably Friday night. And this individual was talking, and he said, we do not want to talk about the fact that we're sinners. We just want to talk about, you know, hey, I made a mistake. Well, while I understand his statement, I do have a challenge with the fact of being a sinner. And this is why. If I was a certain way before I accepted Jesus, if I was a sinner before I accepted Jesus, and then I accept Jesus and I'm still a sinner, point of accepting Jesus if I'm just going to stay the same? Well, now that's not what I'm saying. Well, wait a minute now. We have to clarify this. I'm not a sinner saved by grace. I am a saved by grace person that is still working out my salvation, which involved me operating in sin as my nature. See, there's a residue left over after you get born again. There's a residue. I mean, if you smoked 5 packs of cigarettes a day for 40 years and then you meet Jesus, he can remove the taste for the cigarettes out of your mouth. And you, so okay, some people quit what's called cold turkey. Some people, which I gotta find out what exactly cold turkey. We use a lot of idioms and sayings and things, and it just kind of gets said, and people don't even know where it came from, what it means, and just okay, that's another. Maybe I'll dedicate an entire program to just idioms and sayings and something like that. But getting back to the subject, okay. I'm not a sinner. I'm what's considered a saint. Well, to be a saint, you have to be, you know, the Catholic Church has to pronounce you as a saint. You have to be. Oh, no. The Bible tells me I have been made righteous as a result of my acceptance of Jesus. See, I was dirty and a no good, filthy sinner rag. I believe it's Isaiah, one of them says that we were, we were filthy as rags. But like I said, once I come into the family, I can't go around talking about what I used to be. Okay, here's a practical example. And I'm not advertising for or advocating or anything like that, but I'm going to use the example. You are not going to work for Coca-Cola and Pepsi at the same time. It's not going to happen. Because one of the two is going to feel like, wait a minute, that's our competitor. So you're not going to work for them at the same time. So how can you be saved and a sinner at the same time? See, God doesn't identify us by our action. He doesn't look at us that way. He looks at us through the lens when he looks at us, he sees the blood of Jesus. Or at least if you're saved, if you've accepted Jesus. Now, if you haven't accepted Jesus, then that's just, I really, unregenerated state. What that means is your spirit is still being dominated by your soul, which is controlling your physical body. It's like I'll go back to the person that, you know, smokes cigarettes. And my heart goes out to anyone that's in bondage of cigarettes, any type of bondage, cigarettes, alcohol, sexual addictions, whatever it is, any type of bondage that takes you away from the will of God for your life. But using an example of cigarettes, you started out smoke. You tried cigarettes. I know I tried. I think I was 9 years old, and I decided I'm gonna check out what it's like to smoke. I'm just see what it's like. And so I got some cigarettes, and I didn't go to a store and just outright buy them, but somehow I got some cigarettes in my possession, and so I decided I'm gonna smoke some cigarettes, and I took a couple of puffs, and then I started coughing, and I didn't like how the how it tasted in my mouth, and I said no, this isn't for me. Plus, being an athlete growing up playing sports a lot, I just felt like it would affect my breathing at some point. And I just didn't want to put myself in that situation. Well, a person can, you can become addicted to something before you knew Jesus, and then you meet Jesus, but then there's still the residue of that cigarette smoking, or smoking those cigarettes, because what's happened is you created a habit. It's become a habit now. I've heard accounts, testimonies of people who have just been delivered to where they went before God, and or some people that when they got born again, the cigarettes, the desire to smoke the cigarettes was gone. I know in my own life, when I got born again, let me explain what, first of all, what happened. One night I'm in my apartment, and I'm married at the time, and I think my son was back there. He wasn't born yet. But I'm in the apartment, and I'm reading the Bible. And it's about 1 o'clock in the morning. I used to stay up late and just read scriptures because I'm so just fascinated with the Word of God. And when you apply it to your life and it works, I mean, hey, I'm with this. I can do this. So I'm reading the scriptures, and I put my Bible down. And some of you probably heard this before. Some of you maybe haven't. But I put my Bible down, and I just lay my head back on the couch because I'm sleepy, and I just need to rest. And so I close my eyes. Well, with my eyes closed, I see, and I know it was in my mind's eye. You know how sometimes you can feel like you're daydreaming, and you kind of go to a place to where it's like it's real, but you don't really know if it's not real in the sense of, like, you know something happened, but you just can't explain it, to the point where people will be, hey, boy, you sure you're all right? But so I closed my eyes, and in an open vision, like, I saw this guy. It was a man, I knew that. And his face was just so, looked like someone had just been punching him in the face all night. And it was just black and blue and just puffed and just, you know, it was bad. But he had a crown of thorns on his head. So I just said to myself, having read the scriptures and kind of understand what Jesus looked like on the cross, even though I wasn't there, I was there in the sense of being a part of the human race. I was there because he died for all the sins of the human race. And I'm going to use about 2 minutes. We're going to actually go into scriptures. So I saw this guy, and he just looked bad. And I said to myself, that looks like Jesus. And then I heard a voice say, I did this for you. And I knew it was the voice of God. I'm not going to try to explain it, but I knew. You all listening know there are some things to where you just know. Wives, you know if that husband is doing what he's supposed to, or if he's going to do what he said he's going to, there are some things you just know. Husbands, there are some things you just know when it comes to your kids or your wife, your family. That you can't, people that, well, how'd you know that? I just knew. I just know, and I knew, and then when it happened, it's like you knew it was going to happen. You just know. And it's interesting how women are more in tune with the intuition of just knowing things. They're more in tune. And if you look at the Godhead, you look at God the Father, the male, God the Son, the children, and then God the Holy Spirit, the woman. If you look at it, and the Holy Spirit leads and guides you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. The Holy Spirit is the helper. So when you look at the family dynamics, or you look at how the family makeup, I believe it's Ephesians, says that the family on earth is named after the family in heaven. And so so I heard this voice say, I did this for you. And everything I'd ever done wrong in my life flashed across my consciousness in a millisecond, everything. And every time I was making a mistake, sticking with the subject, every time I made a mistake or messed up or did something I knew I shouldn't have done, I realized I was hurting this guy that had been beat up and had a crown of thorn on his face or on his head for me. And there was a godly sorrow to where I literally wept. I mean, wept for about a good 30 minutes. I mean, it's one of those where you just couldn't control yourself. You're just weeping. And then once I finished and he got me together, I said, Lord. Now, I didn't know what Lord meant at the time. I didn't understand all that. I just said, Lord, I want to live the rest of my life for you. When I said that, everything changed. I no longer wanted to cuss. I was proficient at cursing. I came up with words. I was very astute at telling lies. I had a good work ethic, but at the same time, there were just a lot of things that developed over the years of being on this planet. The Bible says you're born into sin, you're shaped in iniquity. So just by the mere fact that you're born into an environment that is going to put things in you that go against the word of God. So that's why you need to get born again, so you can now start operating and living according to how God wants you to live. So everything changed, and I mean, even to the point to where I think that when I was married at the time, we were getting ready to go to a Chris Rock concert, and I just didn't want to go because I knew what type of language was going to be spoken at that concert. And I just didn't want to go. And it can cause challenges in marriages. It can, I'm telling you. You know, but Paul is very clear. He says, hey, if you're in a marriage, and I'm not saying because my wife, she was born again Christian at the time, you know, the lady I was married to at the time. But I was now a new creature. I mean, old things had passed away. Now, when it says old things had passed away, behold, all things have become new, you still got to renew your mind with the word of God. And your physical body may still have habits that you have, you know, you've been feeding it McDonald's for the past 30 years, and now, you know, we just eating carrots every day. Well, your body gonna put up a fight because you built a stronghold of McDonald's. And so, you know, so I just wanted to say that so that people can understand. Just because you get born again doesn't mean life is now. You're going to have to put up the good fight of faith. There's a fight now because you are part of this organization over here for 25, 35, 45, 15 years, and now you're switching over to the competitor's organization. So now there's a bullseye on your back. Number one, you know too much. See, you know all the tricks and schemes, and the Bible even says that there's nothing that's not common to man when it comes to how the enemy of mankind tricks people into doing stuff. You know, if he knows one guy, he can just get him to watch pornography, and then he'll lead him into other areas. He knows another guy, all he got to do is get him to stop by he'll get a friend to invite him to the bar, but he's been sober for 2 weeks. And he goes to the bar and then, you know, hey, man, have a drink. That's why you have to watch the company that you keep, because evil company can corrupt good habits. That's why you have to watch the people you hang around, the places you go, and the things you do. Some people can't handle having a cell phone. Too much time on social media. Looking at or participating in the wrong things, especially the comments section. That alone can take up 3-4 hours of your day that, you know, you're on a job, you're supposed to be working for that company, but you're commenting on a Facebook post that really has nothing to do with you. Okay. About 10 minutes left. Let's look at some scriptures of some people that made some mistakes, and then we can kind of see what should have happened. Go to Genesis chapter 2 and let's look at verse 16. And it says, I'm reading out of the New King James Version, the Spirit-Filled Life Bible. And so it says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now flip over to chapter 3 and look at verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So they both ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. So they were given a command. They disobeyed it. They just made a mistake. Let's see. Dad comes home from work, and he says, then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me, and the tree gave me of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you've done?" And the woman said, "The serpent." So now we got the blame game. You parents know how this works. If you have more than one child, oh, you don't even have to have more than one. They'll just blame a friend. Now we got the blame game going on. Now, and I'm asking a question. What should Adam and Eve have done? They should have said, "You know what? We ate from the tree," but they didn't understand what it was. You have to understand, they didn't know what we know. They didn't know. They should have just admitted what they did, and then God would have fixed it. He would have taken care of the serpent. But they didn't do that. So now God has to come up with a way to keep them. He can't let them stay in the garden because they got kicked out. But he can cover them to a certain extent, but that relationship has been broken now. That fellowship has been broken. And so that's what happens when we make mistakes and we don't deal with it correctly. A lot of times fellowship gets broken. Husbands and wives, parents and children. It just gets messed up. You know, friends. Turn to, let's see. Oh, go to, first, let me see, go to Ephesians chapter 2. See if we can get. There's two scriptures that I want to get in. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, and let's look at verse 11. And it says, "Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh who were called uncircumcised by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, to enter into the Mosaic law through circumcision." Remember Shechem's son, I believe it was Shechem, his son raped, I think it was Tamar. No, it wasn't. Was it Tamar? But it was Joseph's daughter. Was it Dinah? But he raped Jacob's daughter. And so he was the prince, and he raped Jacob's daughter. So what Jacob did was, actually the Shechem's son, who was the king, he went to Jacob. He said, "Hey man, I heard what happened." He said, and the Israelites were not supposed to marry outside of their ethnicity. They were not supposed to marry. A Israelite was not supposed to marry a non-Israelite. But if you go all through the scriptures, I mean, like Rahab, she was not. Then there was the woman from Ruth, Moab. She wasn't. So then, what happened is Shechem said, "Look, let's join our families, and then what we can do is we'll become one race of people, to where we can exchange our daughters and sons and everything." And so Israel, he went before God and he said, "Hey, you know what you thinking?" And God didn't say no. So as a result, But he didn't have to say no. Jacob already knew. So, but anyway, they got married, and the Shechem's people were now considered a part of the Israelites because all the men were circumcised. So God had instituted a way by which you could become a Jew in the sense of through circumcision. That's how we did it. So now today, all we have to do is accept Jesus, and you're grafted into the family. Okay, so that at that time you were once without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. Wow. So when a person that doesn't have Christ commits makes a mistake or commits a sin, they're without hope. Now, I'm not saying that you can't go and ask for forgiveness or repent, or but the problem is, a lot of times, like when I was sinning out there in the world before Christ, I didn't even know I was a sinner. So first you have to acknowledge that you are a sinner, that you were born into sin, that you do not have a covenant with God. You have to acknowledge it first. So somebody has to preach the gospel so we can shed the light to where you can now see, wait a minute, I'm a sinner on my way to hell. Whoa, I don't want that. All right, so that takes place. And then you have to confess the fact that I'm a sinner. It's one thing to just know, but it's another thing to confess. You can, you know, be acknowledging, yeah, I'm a sinner, and then you just keep on sinning. No, you acknowledge it, you confess it, and then you receive God's salvation package, which includes forgiveness of sin. It also includes healing of your physical body. It also includes financial restoration to the point where, you know, debt deliverance. Now, am I saying all these things are going to – the one thing that I know that happens instantaneously is from the heart, is to where you're saved. In other words, you now become a new creature, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21.
New creature. And so God says, all right, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things will become new.
So you have to acknowledge, confess, receive. Now, somebody said, well, I've been baptized. Well, I get it. I understand you've been baptized, but were you baptized based on your decision, or were you baptized based on somebody else's decision? Because, see, I got baptized under what's called the mourner's bench, which means I sat in services all weekend, and on that Sunday, they baptized all the kids. You gave your right hand of fellowship and your left, the heart of God. But, and then I just went on about my business. But once I met Jesus, it was a whole different ballgame. Whole different ballgame. And so from there, I realized I needed Jesus. And so today, if you've heard anything and, you know, it applies to your life, and I recommend you just go ahead and, you know, do what I said. I recommend you do what I mentioned about acknowledge, confess, receive, and just start walking in God's love. All right. 10 seconds to go. Hey, have a wonderful Sunday. God bless you, and we'll do this again another time. Somehow the time must be off because I still have 11 seconds of stream. But, and I know y'all can hear me, but it's going to, there it is, it just ended.